Amen. Saved. I'm glad I'm saved from sin. Amen. Saved from hell. Amen. He saved my life from destruction. Amen. Not just my soul from hell. Saved my life from destruction. And we have a lot to rejoice in that. Amen. Amen. How many of you glad you're saved? Say amen.
Amen.
I don't think anybody's ever been saved and disappointed about it. Amen. I believe we're happy about being saved by the grace of God. Proverbs chapter number 16, where we're going to be taking our text tonight. Proverbs chapter number 16. Amen. Well, when I failed to mention this morning about choir practice until after, I meant to mention that at the close of the service, and I failed to mention it. I needed to check with Philip, make sure. I thought tonight was when he was going to be gone, and I wanted to make sure that, because otherwise I was going to have the youth choir practice, but with him being gone, I thought, well, we'd just go and have regular choir practice, and then I forgot to mention that, and some of you got gone. But then when we got done practicing, and by the way, we did a couple of new songs, and we tried a few that we decided we're going to skip that, and some we tried that we're going to come back to and work on again. But had a good time in the choir practice nonetheless. Amen. The thing about choir practice, it's not just about trying to be perfect, but it's about trying to do our best to bring glory to God. Amen. Learn the song so we can do our best to bring glory to God. Amen. But when we got done, I turned around and saw Brother and Sister Hall here. That was a blessing to me. Amen. And I'm glad they're able to be with us tonight in the house of God. Amen. And I do pray for them. He was telling us they had the death in the family there in Indiana and going to have all that going on this week. So pray for them and the situation there also as well. All right. Proverbs chapter number 16, and we'll start with verse number 1. We looked at this last Sunday, this chapter, and I told you that what I'm dealing with in these chapters now, we're just finding subjects that we can sometimes go from chapter to chapter, but I'm trying to find subjects that are pretty well contained in that chapter and pull out the verses that deal with that. And in this one, we're talking about the principle of providence. And we dealt with the first half of this last week, and we'll, Lord willing, deal with the second half tonight. A lot of verses in here. I think there's almost half of the verses deal with the principle of providence. God ruling over everything. Amen. And so I want to be looking at that tonight if we can. Verse number 1, and we'll read down through verse number 7, then we'll start skipping around. Verse number 1, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. By the way, let me just say as I go along through this, we talked about God gave us a great gift. Gave human beings the gift of free will. You can make your plans, but you're going to answer to God for your plans. You can do it, but you're going to answer to God. Amen. That's it. We've got free will. Amen. We have the ability to make our own decisions, but we're not going to stop God from orchestrating His plan. Amen. All right, verse number 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. That's how to get done what you need to do. Give it to God. Verse 4, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now there's really where we stopped last week, is as far as we got looking through those 7 verses. And I ended with this, and I want to say it tonight. That principle in verse number 7, that is a principle, not a promise. Sometimes your enemies are still your enemies. They don't make peace with you. Amen. Men and women, Christians, have had to be martyred for the faith. It didn't mean they're out of the will of God. They're in the perfect will of God, even though they still had enemies. But what he's saying here is there's a principle that when you're serving God, even the heart of the enemy is in the hand of God. God can make them for you or against you. Amen. And God can give you victory through that. Amen. All right, verse number 9. Jump down to verse number 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as the cloud of the latter rain. Now jump down to the very last verse, verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Help, Lord, please. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank you, Brother Hall, for that prayer. Amen. The principle of providence. I simply say this. Oh, thank you. Amen. I say it this way. God rules over everything. We believe that. God rules over everything. He's the Almighty. Amen. He's the omnipotent. Amen. He's the sovereign. He's the king of it all. Now, that does not negate man's will. Doesn't make us puppets. Amen. Doesn't make us robots. We're not that. God gives us independent personal agency, if you want to say it that way. It does not negate man's will. It does not negate our personal agency. It does not negate our responsibility. And yet it reminds us that over it all, there is a king we're going to answer to. That over it all, there is a God that owns it all. It all belongs to him. Amen. Sometimes I think about, and I've touched on it in some sermons in the past, but sometimes I think about the fact that in America, we don't think in the realm the way that people in the Bible thought, as the Bible was written to them, or people through most of history have thought, and that is with a king, that all the land belongs to the king. And we're just his servants. Everybody's got to give an answer to the king. All the laws are not made by men. The laws are made by the whim of the king, whatever he wants. Life and death is in the power of the king's tongue in many places. Well, I'm telling you, that's the way the Bible's written. Is we can understand that's how God is. What God says goes. Amen. You can say, well, I don't see it that way. Don't matter. God said it. Well, I don't think it ought to be that way. Don't matter. God said it. God makes the laws. He owns it all. He made it all. Amen. He has the right to it all. Now, one of the problems with man-made dynasties and man-made monarchies is that those men are not God. Those men are not, they're not like God in the fact they didn't make it all. They just, by birth, they just happened to be born into that family and into that lineage, or maybe somewhere along the line somebody conquered and got that started, but they just happened to be born in that. But our God deserves to be king. And our God is a good king. Everything he does is right. Some kings, human kings, are fickle and what's the right word I want to use? I'll just say they're wicked. They're wicked kings, but not our God. Amen. Our God's the perfect king. He rules in honesty. He rules in righteousness. Amen. And I'm glad he does. So I'm simply saying God has a plan. He has a plan for everything, and men will not thwart the plan of God. Amen. But we will each give an account and an answer to the way we have reacted, the way we have acted, the way we have responded, the way we have related to the will of God.
Now, studying these verses, as I said last week, we looked at the first seven, and I'd like to go back over some of them again, but I don't have the time to do that. Looking at these next eight, I'd like to cover these next eight, verse 9 through 15, and then verse number 33, and deal with them together. And talking, as we said, the principle of providence. Now, listen, this is not a Calvinistic principle, it's a Bible principle. Amen. It's a Bible principle that God is sovereign. God's king. I know people say, well, the word sovereign's not in the Bible. Neither is the word Bible in the Bible. Amen. Neither is the word rapture in the Bible. Yet we know the teaching's there. Amen. And the teaching is there that God is king over all. Now look at verse number 9 again. He says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. That verse goes right back to verse number 1. Look at verse 1 again. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Man can try to do his own figure and make up his mind, do his own thing, and yet God is in control of it all. That's what he's saying. Amen. That verse number 1 teaches that God has gifted human beings with the ability, an amazing ability, by the way, to reason, to think, to consider, to decide, to plan, and to proceed with those plans. Amen. I related that last time about with animals, and humans are different from animals. Amen. Humans are different. I know they talk about evolution and evolving and all that kind of stuff. Look to me like if evolution was right, that being able to see at night would be a good thing, that we'd have cat's eyes to be able to see at night. Amen. But I don't want to be like a cat and be licking my hands all the time. Chasing mice all the time. Amen. I'd rather be like a dog chasing cats all the time. Anyway, let me get off of that. but humans are different. The idea, humans are different than animals. Animals, I don't know if they have an ability to plan. Sometimes dogs can figure out a way to get out of a cage. Hogs can figure out a way to get out of a cage. Cows can figure a way to get out of a pasture. On and on you go. It's almost like they're taking, but they don't plan like man does. God has made man with the ability that we can think and reason things through in a great, really a great, mighty way. What a gift God's given us to be able to do that. But he's telling us, even with all that, we're not God. We might be above the animals, but we're not God. Amen. When God made Adam, he placed him in the garden and put him over everything. But he wasn't over God. Amen. Now some men have the idea that they're, you know, I make my own way. I'm God. I rule my own world. I'm going to tell you that's not going to happen. God's not going to allow that to happen. And so he's talking about these things that a man may devise in his heart. These great gifts that God has given us are under the government and authority of Almighty God. Amen. Man may devise a plan. Man may decide a particular way in which he may go. He talks about his own way. He may decide a way that he wants to go, but God, the Lord, is over it all. Amen. Therefore, he said we ought to commit our ways unto the Lord. Amen. That's why we need to ask God, Lord, what do you want? Not my will, but thine be done. Amen. Submit our will to his. And find what God wants for us. Now, I do believe that man has a free will. I talked about that last time. But even that free will not subvert the overarching providence and master plan of God. In other words, it didn't surprise God when Judas sold our Lord out for 30 pieces of silver. God prophesied he'd do that way back. But God didn't force Judas to do that. Judas decided to do that. Amen. Made up his own mind to do it his way. That's the way he wanted to do it. And God knew how he's going to do it. Amen. Amen. I could chase that rabbit a long way. But I just say, in our last study, I talked about the fact that this doctrine, that man is not a puppet. And it is true. But man is not God. Only God is God. God is king. This verse tells us that man deviseth, but the Lord directeth. You see that? Man may devise it, but it takes God to direct it. Amen. We've got some dreams. Some things were said this morning. I'm not going to say a whole lot over the radio, but we've got some dreams, and we're praying about some things, and we're devising some things. We're putting some things in order to be ready if God opens that door and allows us to go that way. We're devising, but it's going to take God to direct it. Amen. That's the way we ought to live our life. It's a blessing to see families come together. This morning, we got the letter for Miss Courtney. I actually got it last Wednesday, but got the letter and we accepted her in our church family. Last Wednesday, we sent the letter for Miss Anna and Caleb. It's a blessing to see families come together. They're devising. They're making a plan. They're going to have a family. I mean, they're going to have about 20 kids in about 20 months. Maybe not. Not unless they adopt a bunch quick. Amen. But seriously, they're devising. They're making plans. It's wonderful to be making plans. But in under all those plans, you better recognize God's in control of it all. God is in control of all of it. Amen. So here's what I'm saying. There's a lot of good examples in here of how that God does that. God gives men great liberty. He gives men great ability. But all that liberty does not negate God's supremacy. Amen. Some good examples. I'll just throw out one real quick. Joseph's brothers sold Joseph down into Egypt land. You remember that? They had a plan. They had a plan. But God had a plan too. Their plan was to satisfy their own lust. Their plan was to do it their way, get it. I mean, they told her daddy a lie, had him believing it. You know, all the deal. I mean, it looked like things went good. They had him out of their hair. They got the money for it. They was living their life the way they wanted to live it. But God had a plan overarching all that. Amen. And I'm glad he does have a plan over it all. So simply saying, we cannot detour or derail God's plan. Amen. Amen. Now, that certainly doesn't mean that what we do doesn't matter. Don't get that idea either. Amen. Not that what we do doesn't matter. But what it does mean is that we ought to submit our dreams to God. Amen. We'll submit our dreams, our goals, our plans, our thoughts, our the things we're devising. We ought to submit that to God and go to Him in prayer, asking Him to have His way that He might direct our steps all along the way. Amen. So verse number 10, look at verse 10. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. The king mentioned here in verse number 10. In the next several verses, you'll notice the king's mentioned down through, I think, each of these verses to verse 15. The king. And that can obviously refer to man as king, the human king, or it can refer to God as king. And I say this about our God as king. I just mentioned this. Our God as king, God always speaks right. He says it in verse number 10 there, a divine sentence is in the lips of the king. Our God always says the right thing. Amen. God never misspoke. Amen. He never misspoke. I mentioned last week that one of the men down there in Shelbyville in that meeting, one of the men said that they heard Brother Seitler say one time, said Brother Seitler said, God has never had to say, oops. He's never made a mistake. Amen. Brother Jimmy Moyes says that God will never have to eat his words. When he said the word that proceedeth out of my mouth, he said it'll not return unto me void. God's never going to have to eat his words. Sometimes we say things, we have to eat our words. Isn't that right? You ever said something in anger that as soon as you said it, you wished you hadn't said it? God never has done that. Everything God says is exactly right. Amen. His words, the divine sentence, is in the lips of the king. Other words, our God always speaks rightly and wisely. Our God never transgresseth in judgment. When he says something is wrong, it's wrong. When he says it's right, it's right. He never transgresses in judgment. In other words, our God always does the right thing. But every human king does not do that. This verse, looking at it in the human kingly standpoint, a divine sentence is in the lips of the king. By the way, his word is law. That's how he's got that divine sentence. His word is law. But it doesn't mean that he never messes up. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. Human beings sometimes do indeed transgress in judgment. They make the wrong move. They make the wrong judgment. Amen. Because of their frailty. Sometimes because of their own sinfulness, their own perversity, they make the wrong moves. But here, I believe he's talking about a good king does his best to say things right. A good king does his best to lead in righteousness and have right kind of judgment. Amen. Now, this is a good place for me to insert the great need for those in authority. We don't have a king in our land today, but authority. Whether it be president, whether it be governor, whether it be mayor, whether it be employer, whether it be preacher, whatever the people, whether it be husband in the home or parents in the home. It is important that those that are in authority, those in leadership position, ought to do their best to ask God for wisdom. So we can say the right thing and we can make the right judgments. Amen. We ought to ask God to give us wisdom and show us how to speak, how to act, and how to judge. Matter of fact, I think this verse, verse number 10, perhaps is talking more about how we should be than the way we definitely are at all times. It should be that when the king speaks, he speaks right. It should be when the king makes a judgment, he does the right judgment. Amen. It should be that way with parents. Sometimes in disciplining children, we had four kids. My brother said it's a lazy parent that doesn't have at least two, because then you know who did it. If you've only got one, you know Gracie did it, right? If you only got one, you know who did it. You know Steve did it. No, y'all got three. Well, you still know Steve done it. Anyway, I'm just kidding. But my brother said, you know, when you got more than one, you got to decide which one did it. And here's the way my dad did it, and I'm afraid I followed in his footsteps. I'd say, I'm going to whip every one of you. That way I'll be sure and get the right one. But that's not really fair, is it? I didn't feel like it was when I was getting a whipping, when I knew I wasn't one did it. Amen. Now, I mean, there's enough times I got off, I got by, and so really, in the span of things, I probably ought to got more whippings than I did get. I'm not saying I got too many. That's right. I believe they do. I believe they do sort of balance out in that matter. But my point is this: we ought to pray and ask God, Lord, give me wisdom in my leadership, whether it's parenting, whether it's on the job, whether it's being, you know, whatever leadership position you have, even in a church, Lord, give me wisdom to make the right decisions. And by the way, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. James 1:5. Amen. We need to go to God and say, Lord, I need wisdom. I've got this position that you've given me. Can I say this? Just because you're in a position of leadership doesn't mean you was born with more wisdom than others have. Because you weren't. We're all born with the same, if I can say, blank state. Blank slate. Amen. Babies are born with no education. Somewhere along the line, they got to be taught. Amen. And it really, to be honest with you, education is a lifetime thing. We ought to constantly be learning, but we ought to ask God, Lord, help me to learn, to know, to be able to make the right decisions, to be able to make the right judgments that'll bring you glory and that'll bring you honor. 1 Kings chapter number 3, you don't have to turn there, I'll read this. Solomon asked this prayer of God when Solomon became king. He said, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Verse 10 says, and the speech pleased the Lord. Amen. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Amen. It pleased God that he asked for wisdom. You know why? Because God wants people in leadership to lead right. Amen. He wants them to lead in righteousness, to lead in wisdom. Their mouth not to transgress in judgment. Amen. Now, Charles Bridges says that this is actually, this verse number 10 is actually a, quote, a manual for kings, showing not what they are, but what God requires them to be, that they may be a blessing to their people and benefactors to the world. Amen. God wants leaders, whatever the state, here it's talking about kings, to make right decisions. Look at verse number 11. He goes right along. This is the same concept. It's following. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his. Weights deals with standards. A pound is 16 ounces. You don't cheat on that. You keep it. You got, a foot is 12 inches. And, you know, on and on. In other words, your measurements, he wants it to be right. He don't want you to cheat on that. He don't want you changing on those things. And here's the idea. Those standards, those weights, those balances are rules. They're laws that God has made. Amen. And God wants his people to have proper rules, laws, and standards. He wants them to be uniform and universal. In other words, if it's right for you, it's right for me. And if it's wrong for you, it's wrong for me. Right or wrong is always the same. By the way, it don't change in 2021. Amen. Used to be wrong for people to do things that today they think it's all right to do. And I could run all kinds of rabbits on that, and you know that. They've come up, people's finding all kinds of ways that they can do all kinds of stuff and claim still to be a Christian in this day we're living in, and it used to always be wrong. I'm going to tell you, God said, if it was wrong then, it's still wrong. Amen. Those weights in the bag belong to God. Yes. Amen. God's the one who puts it on scale, says if it's equal or unequal. Amen. And so that's the idea that he's got there. In other words, God's measurements are always exact and non-changeable. Amen. God wants that from us. That's the way he wants us to be. I just throw out, talk about parenting. One of the biggest failures parents make, and we're all human, we do make it, not excusing that, just saying one of the biggest mistakes parents make is in not being consistent. Amen. I'm glad our God is consistent. Amen. He's a consistent God. Well, he wants us to be a blessing. He wants good leadership ought to be lawful. It ought not be fickle. It ought not be malleable. Amen. That people ought not be able to pay their way off. Times change, but rules, laws, and standards ought not change. Amen. They're fixed and steady. He's talking about those just weights and balances. Look at verse number 12. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Again, this king has got to be not talking about God, because our God never commits wickedness. Amen. But he's carrying on the previous point, verse 10 and verse 11, the fact that men may commit wickedness. They may have false weights and balances. They may cheat people. They may rule dishonestly. God calls that an abomination. Amen. Wickedness by anyone is bad, but when a leader leads in wickedness, he destroys a nation. Amen. He said in verse number 12, the latter phrase, for the throne is established by righteousness. For the throne is established by righteousness. Nations, churches, businesses, and families can either live under the curse of God because of wickedness, or they can live under the blessing of God because of righteousness. Amen. This verse goes along with Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Amen. We can make our choice. Do we want to live under the blessings of God as a nation? Do we want to live under the curse of God? We can make that decision for our family. We can make that decision for our church. Amen. Amen. I was told just recently about a church, and if I call the name of the church, some of you would know some people that have gone there. Man told me just recently that he's a member of that church. He said our church is really down. He said we lost about 30 people in the last 6 months. That'd be a pretty major loss. He said the reason we lost it, he said our pastor had to deal with sin in the church. A man was having a relationship with a young lady in the church that he wasn't married to. He was married. He is married. I should say it that way. This man is married, and yet he was having a relationship with a young lady in the church. And I won't go into too much detail about who this young lady was, but she was related to the pastor. When the pastor found out about it, he dealt with both of them. But this ain't the first time this man's had this problem. This is the third time he's had this problem. The former pastor had to deal with him two other times. So this pastor said, this is a pattern of behavior. He said, I want you out. He just asked him to leave. Some of the family members said, you ought to have been more long-suffering. After he's done busted up two homes now and tried to bust up a third one, they said, you ought to be more long-suffering. You know, no, he shouldn't have been more long-suffering. He should have took a stand. Here's what this member said. This member said he had the opportunity to address the church. He said, you ought to thank God that we have a pastor that's willing to take a stand. He said, there ain't one out of 100 across our country that would take that stand in this day. And he's probably right. He's probably right. But here's what God said. God, and listen, and it's not being harsh, it's being right. God said, if you want to live under the blessings of God, then you deal righteously, you judge righteously. If you don't, just let everything go and you'll be under the curse of God. You just let it all go. Amen. Look at verse number 13. Goes right along the same. It's amazing to me how these verses do go along. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. Now, verse number 11 told us that God wants leaders to have righteous laws and standards. And then he tells us in verse 12 that he wants us to live right. Not wicked, but live righteously. Amen. Now he's telling us he wants us to have righteous lips. God delights in righteous lips. That's right kind of talk. Those are not flattering lips. Amen. Not fawning lips. Not phony lips. But lips that speak the truth. Amen. When people come to church, listen, I touched on a little bit this morning about sinners come. We ought to ask that they keep coming. Pray that they keep coming. But what they need to hear is the truth. Whether they like it or not. Whether it fits our society today or not. Amen. We don't need to water it down and change it for them. We need to preach the truth. That's what God delights in. Amen. That's what the Holy Ghost will use. Amen. He'll take that and use that for His glory and honor. Amen. Now, I'm saying this verse, I don't believe this verse only means that God delights in it. But I believe that it says that good leaders delight in when people tell the truth. When people speak righteously to them. Amen. One of the pitfalls, several generations of our American presidents, not just the one we have in there now, one that was in there before, the one that's there before that, the one that's in there before that, for several generations, one of the pitfalls of American presidents is that they've gathered yes men under them and they've told them what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. Rather than tell them what the truth is, amen, many times they tell them what they want to hear, what is politically correct. Amen. And that's not helpful. What would be helpful is if they heard the truth. Amen. Amen. I can't imagine our former leaders doing like that. Talk about these righteous lips. Righteous lips being the delight of kings. Here's another failure in our modern presidencies. Not just that they tell them what they want to hear, but they use foul language. Righteous lips don't curse. Amen. Righteous lips don't cuss. That's the way we say it. Don't use profanity. Amen. Righteous lips don't speak in innuendos and things that are wicked and ungodly. Amen. But I'm shocked at senators, congressmen, and even presidents that claim to be godly and will use God's name in vain at the drop of a hat. Curse and say foul things, wicked things out of their lips. I'm telling you, that is damaging to our nation. I can't imagine George Washington doing that, can you? No. I can't imagine our great leaders, our founding fathers, as we'd say. I don't believe they'd let their cabinet do that kind of stuff. Amen. Let alone them doing it themselves. Amen. But God wants kings and just leaders to delight in righteous lips. And to love him that speaketh right. Amen. So, if God wants leaders to do that, I think he'd want preachers to speak right. Amen. Use the right kind of language. Not to use profanity or crude speech. Amen. Amen. You don't think God would want his children using profanity or crude speech? No. Amen. Look at verse number 14. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death. But a wise man will pacify. Amen. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify. Here we see God's warning. There's a warning that kings and leaders ought to beware of unleashing their wrath because their words can have people put to death just on their word. Many nations around the world in history, and some still to this day, you don't get an appeal in court. You don't get a second chance, as we'd say. Some of them, you don't even get your day in court. When the leader says, you're done, you're done. Whatever they say. And so God wants the king to be careful not to unleash his wrath, because his wrath can be as messengers of death, is what he said there in verse number 14. His wrath can be as messengers of death. Amen. Leaders need to beware of pent-up anger and unleashing that uncontrolled wrath when that anger is pent up. Amen. Again, I know we don't have kings in our day, but that fits in every case. In every case. Let me just take it back to parenting. That we can see that a little bit easier. Don't let your anger get pent up and build up until you just unleash fury on that child. Amen. Amen. Deal with them in the little things while they're little, so they don't build up. And you've heard me say it before, a lot of what happens is they let things go until they get embarrassed in public. And when they get embarrassed in public, automatically they get mad. Amen. This leadership he's talking about here, be careful lest you unleash that anger and that your words be as messengers of death. Amen. So we've got to beware of that. We serve under leadership. We've got to be careful not to stoke the anger of the leader. Amen. We've got to be careful not to provoke the wrath of the leader. Amen. God says in verse number 14 that a wise man will pacify it. A wise man will pacify. They don't mean put a pacifier in his mouth. Amen. And it also doesn't mean just roll over and appease everybody. Amen. But here's what I think it means. A wise man will look for ways in which he can work out peace rather than rage in war. Amen. Look for ways that we can work this thing out rather than just tear it all down. Amen. I'm saddened in our nation today. We're in a day with Antifa and BLM and all this crowd that seems to be rioting and ruling. Even some of the right-wing crowd. It seems like they're just at each other's throats and we're not interested in working anything out. We're just interested in tearing our whole society down instead. Amen. God says a wise man will pacify it. A wise man will try to find a way to make peace. Amen. Amen. Find a way to stifle the anger. Find a way to stop the strife. Amen. So he says here, if the king or any type of leader is a good one, he loves righteousness. Amen. Then if he does, if you got a good king, then it would be perverse. It'd be wicked to provoke him to anger. He's talking about here. Amen. If his laws and rules and standards are right, like God said they ought to be, then law breaking would make him angry. Rule breaking and lawlessness would incite his anger. Amen. So men ought to fear the wrath of their leader, their king. But if men ought to fear the wrath of an earthly king, how much more should we fear the wrath of our heavenly king? I don't want to do anything to incite the anger of my heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. What would be wise? The wise thing to do would be make peace with him. If you find yourself at odds with God, listen, you ain't going to win that battle. Amen. You're not going to win that battle. The wise thing to be would be to make peace with him. Psalm 2, that great psalm, Psalm chapter number 2, says it this way, verses 10 through 12. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. He said, if you're wise, the wise thing to do is make peace with your Lord. Amen. Look at verse number 15. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as the cloud of the latter rain. Amen. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of latter rain. It continues and really repeats the line of thought from verse number 14, that proverb there. And again, it's hard for Americans really to contemplate and understand a despot, a tyrant that rules. The closest thing we can do in our generation, probably closest thing we can do is think about Hitler or Stalin. Amen. One of those men that just had people under their thumb, so to speak, really had people under their sway. Their word was law. And millions died because of their word. Amen. Here he's saying, not just the king's wrath is bad. Not just the king's word is bad. He said, you don't even want to make him frown. Because he said the king's countenance, it can be life. If it can be life, then it can be death is the idea. Amen. And so we need to recognize the power of life and death in the word of the king, in the hand of the king, and even in this case, in just the look of the king. The frown on his face could mean death. You remember when Esther was trying to go in before Ahasuerus? Esther recognized that. She's his wife. Of all people, his wife. And she said, I've not been called. And if he doesn't extend that scepter towards me, in other words, if he frowns at me, if he don't acknowledge me, if he don't smile my way, it ain't going to be good for me. Amen. Now there's things you can do. God might not necessarily kill you for it, but it ain't making him happy. And he's not going to smile at you. Amen. And so I think what we ought to fear our God so much that we don't even want to do those things that displease our Father. Amen. Just those things that would displease our Father. In other words, when we approach God, we ought to ask Him that our life might have His smile, that it might be the countenance of life. Amen. And it might live under His favor like the latter rain. Amen. Just the goodness of God is bestowed by His smile, His pleasure, and His affirmation. Amen. And then last of all, verse number 33, that last verse of all this, sums it all up and really harkens back to verse 9 and back to verse number 1. Verse 33, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Same doctrine that's run through this whole book that we've looked at so far, this whole chapter as we've looked at it so far. God is in control. Amen. Many things men may decide on a whim, on a quick decision, but through it all, God's in control. Amen. You might remember that the children of Israel were told to cast lots. This verse is talking about casting lots. They were told to cast lots in the dividing of the land. The idea was this: God wanted the land divided. And they didn't know how to divide it. They didn't have the knowledge. They didn't have the information as to how to divide the land. So God said, cast the lots. And God was in control of the lots. So that they plotted off the land and they got their inheritance as God wanted them to have it. That's what it's talking about here. God dealt with that cast of lots. Now there's some casting of the lots that God's not necessarily in. Like they cast lots for our Lord's garment. You remember that? On Calvary. When they took that. And so there's a way here that they're trying to figure out things. You might call it the roll of the dice. That's what some people might would call it. It's decision by chance. But really they're not trusting in chance. When God told Israel to cast a lot, they're not trusting in chance. They're trusting in God to overrule even what looked like was chance. Amen. Amen. God told them that He is in control of the outcome. Amen. Amen. In that manner, when men are governing, not trying to divine by wicked means. You remember Saul went to the witch of Endor. That was in my daily Bible reading today. Saul went to the witch of Endor because God wasn't speaking to him. He is asking for Samuel to tell him something because God wasn't speaking to him. There's a lot of people who won't even open their Bible, but they'll read the horoscope. Amen. A lot of people won't even turn to God. They don't even question God. Don't even ask God about how they ought to live. But they'll do all kinds of things by chance. Draw straws. Amen. Amen. We can talk about a lot of things, the way people try to seek or divine some answer from some occult manner, not consulting God. Amen. But even in that, God is in control of it all. Amen. I don't see it today like I used to see it there in Wilkesboro for a while. Just every little bit, there's popping up these palm readers. I always get tickled about them palm readers. No, they're wanting the money in the palm. That's what they're wanting. Yeah, grease in the palm. That's what they're after. Amen. I remember my brother worked for Papa John's. I've probably told this before, but it tickles me every time I think about it. The palm read. By the way, the palm reading woman on right off of 421 in Wilkesboro, she put up a big sign about how she was reading the palm. About, I don't think it's 2 months later, the state tore her sign down because it was widening the road. Looked like she'd seen that coming. But she called Papa John's when my brother was working there and ordered a pizza, ordered a meal. I don't know exactly what she ordered. But anyway, and she ordered the meal, and of course he took her order and he told her when it'd be ready and he told her how much it'd be. And so, he was the driver too. Whenever they got time to go, he took it out there. And when he got there, he said, not only don't she don't know the future, she can't even remember the past. He said, she didn't remember how much that pizza was. He said, she said, how much is it? He said, I thought about it. I said, you tell me. You're the palm reader. No, she's a fake. That's right. She's a fake. My point is this. Don't go looking towards human divine in ways. Look to God. God's in control of it all. God's in control of it all. Amen. Amen. So, we don't make decisions like that today. We don't make decisions by rolling the dice. Now, once in a while we'll flip a coin to see who's going to do what when, who goes first or something like that. But I'm just saying, we're not trying to decide the future by these means. We're trusting God. Amen. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Amen. We have a more sure word of prophecy because we've got the Bible that's been completed. Amen. And we can look to the Bible. The Bible's our guide for the decisions we make in life today. Amen. Amen. We ought to consult the Bible for the decisions we have to make. We're not living by chance. We're not just hoping things turn out right. If you're a child of God, you're asking God to lead and guide and direct your path. Amen. Sometimes things seem to fall out bad. Maybe good luck or bad luck. Oh, I'm just having the worst luck. Boy, I'm having a lucky day today. This is my lucky day. Yeah. No, God's in control of all that. Amen. God's in control. We're taught to look to God. We're taught to follow His leadership rather than some luck, some chance. Amen. Following God. Now, here's the point in all this doctrinal teaching. God led Solomon to write this. God led him to put this down here in the book of Proverbs. I believe that. And God had a point to tell people. Now listen. He's telling people not to foolishly abandon all responsibility. God's given us a great gift in the ability to think and reason and make plans. But he's saying you better recognize you're under the authority of God. There's a king even over the king. Amen. There's a king even over the king. But Steve teaching in Sunday school this morning about Gehazi and how that he ought to known God knew even when he thought nobody else saw, nobody else knew. He should have known God knows. Amen. Solomon was the king of Israel. Solomon's going to live. He's going to reign in a time. Looks like Israel is at its apex. But Solomon needed to recognize, just like you and I need to recognize, there's a God over every one of us. Amen. Amen. We need His leadership. We ought to wisely go to God, amen, when things fall out like they often do, rather than think, well, that's just bad luck. Oh, the world's just against me. You ought to go to God and say, Lord, You're in control of it all. Amen. Amen. I'm going to stop right here tonight. We'll get them come with a song. And I ask a couple of questions while they're coming. Are you guilty? Are we guilty sometimes of thinking that things just happen in our life by chance? Thinking that, well, we're just a casualty to chance. We're just a prisoner to chance. Listen, God is in control of it all. Don't forget that.
Amen. Amen. That shouldn't cause us to live fatalistically. No. That should cause us to go to God. That ought to cause us to thank God. That ought to cause us to seek wisdom from God. Amen. Seek God's leadership in everything we do. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, thank you for the truth that you're in control. Lord, I pray, help us with that. Help us, dear God, not, as I said, not to get this fatalistic attitude. Well, nothing matters. It surely does matter. You've given us this great ability. We better invest it right. We better invest it so we can do better and we can do more and we can bring you more glory rather than hide it in the earth and just let chance happen. Lord, help us to follow you. Help us to trust you. Help us to walk in a way that's right. Help us to lead in a way that's right with righteousness, right judgment, just weights and balances, righteous lips. Help us, dear God, to lead that way. And you receive glory. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we stand, if you need to come to the altar, we'll give you that opportunity. Some are already praying in the pew and at the altar. If you need to do that, I'll give you that opportunity while we sing. 337. While we sing, would you obey the Lord? Helpful. I'm glad we got a God over it all. Amen. I'm glad we're not trusting in these fortune tellers. I thought about another Roger Tooley told about when he there in England, there's some gypsies come through, and as a woman had one of them fortune telling booths, I guess you'd say. So I think it's a wagon, but anyway. He went in there to give her a gospel tract. And he went up there to her. And she said, "Do you want me to tell you the future?" He said, "No, I'm here to tell you yours." She said, "Oh, are you a palm reader?" He said, "No, I'm a Bible reader." He said, "That Bible said if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell." Amen. That's what he said, daughter. And that's right. We don't have to be palm readers. We can be Bible readers. And we know the future. Amen. For the child of God, it's pretty good. For a lost and dying world, it's not. So we better give them the good news. Amen. Better tell them the way to salvation. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to dismiss in a word of prayer. Don't forget regular service Wednesday night. If you can come, come and be with us. Pray for it. Invite somebody else to come and pray that God go with us and bless as we go. All right, we'll bow our heads and dismiss in a word of prayer. Brother Troy, would you dismiss us, please?